expertise in this last minute we have on this issue of climate change. If you can comment on what the secretary is saying and if it surprises you.
It doesn't surprise me. That's where they're coming from right now. They're clearly not going to acknowledge climate change, but it is important. The right answer to Americans right now who are worried about safety in the face of wildfire or other extreme events is to say we're working on protecting Americans, not we need to get rid of these extreme environmentalists and go logging out in the forest. We need to protect communities. We need to protect our infrastructure. We need to start paying attention closely to the impacts of climate change because we understand that most Americans get it, that climate change is no longer something that they can just wish away in this administration.
Well, Joel Clement, we want to thank you for being with us. Served in the Department of Interior until he quit last year. And I want to thank Ben Lefebvre. We will link to your articles in Politico, energy reporter there, doing a series of exposés on the current Secretary of the Interior. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is job opening for a full-time broadcast engineer. Check our website at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KVOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KVOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KVOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Mountain Valley Jazz Festival on Saturday and Sunday, August 18th and 19th, at Portland Metro Arts in Portland. Now in its fifth year, the Mountain Valley Jazz Festival showcases original jazz from Portland's eccentric and vibrant jazz scene. Performers this year include Randy Porter Trio with Nancy King, Nicole Governor Quartet, Farnell Newton, The Creative Music Guild, Sound Fundry, and many more. Again, the Montevella Jazz Festival is on Saturday and Sunday, August 18th and 19th at Portland Metro Arts, 9003 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Good morning. Today is Monday, August 13th, 2018, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and KBOO.FM. In the World Wide Web. I am Cecil Prescott. I will be joined by Celeste Carey and you, our listeners. And today, let me remind you of our phone numbers, 503-231-8187. So a few things before we begin our focus. As I mentioned, Celeste is on the way, and she isn't here yet because of traffic and all of that. But it occurred to me as I was coming here this morning, in terms of the variety of way in which people transport themselves from one place to another, And I don't know about you, but I've noticed here in Portland, and I can speak particularly in inner Portland, Portland core, of this new phenomenon. Scooters are everywhere, and of course things are not without controversy, and apparently there's a uprising of animosity and action against scooters in municipalities throughout the nation. I have not yet heard of anything happening here. I'm aware of things in California and I think Cleveland, where there's controversy about scooters, but I know there are a couple of companies who are have license for them here, but I'm just wondering, are your thoughts about the commercialization of alternative ways of transportation, and this is somewhat, not only slightly related to alternatives that are being offered to transportations and alternatives to taxis and private companies and license. So any thoughts about those, about that? Do you use a scooter? Do you have a helmet to use a scooter? Or do you use more conventional mechanism of transport? Car, mass transit, or skateboard, maybe. I don't know. Give us a call and share your thoughts about that. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll take your calls. Two things to note in terms of significance. Today, 1961, in the stillness of the night, troops began building, East German and Soviet troops began building what became known as the Berlin Wall. How interesting. On the day in which we remember the construction of barriers, that in this nation there continues to be conversation about building walls, not only on our southern borders, but apparently now concerns about our northern borders. And also to remind all of you, if you have not yet heard, and Celeste will talk more about this in terms of her impact, apparently Aretha Franklin is is very seriously ill, as a few reports have come out this morning. We'll talk more about that. Again, let me remind you of our phone numbers, 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your thoughts. Are you on the scooter? Let's go to our caller. April, good morning, April. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing fairly well. I missed the second thing you talked about, but I heard you talk about scooters, and there was no, like when we got bikes, there was a lot of rollout, and I was aware of it.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't aware of scooters, and I was almost run down by a scooter on the sidewalk downtown. I think it was last Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the person was going pretty fast and like just staring straight ahead. It was kind of scary.
Now, I thought they had to, maybe I should look up. I thought the instruction was you had to use the roadway, not the sidewalk.
You know, that was my thought. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
And then the other day I got off a MAC stop at like 122nd and Burnside. And, you know, there's like a temporary stop there. It's not that wide.
Yes.
Yeah, and someone had parked a scooter right in the middle of that MAC stop. So those of us who got off the train and were trying to turn to go across the street, there was like a bottleneck there.
Wow, scooters.
So I don't know where the scooters came from, but there need to be some rules, and they need to be enforced.
Well, yeah, I I know. I'm glad you're okay, and I don't know, are there the scooter patrols out there? But well, April, just be careful, and if you decide to go on the scooter, make sure you get your license first.
Oh, I'm not gonna do that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Hey, Celeste.
You know, I was thinking about scooters. You know, they haven't made them out there where I'm at, because I'm out in Oregon City now, and so. There's two ways to get into the city. You're either going to take 205 and then take 84 and pray. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, I call it the push and pray method. Push on the accelerator, push on the brake, and pray. Right. And yeah. Then there's coming in on 95E. And right at that last bridge, right when you hit the city, right about, what is that? That's about the 2000 Southeast Block or so, where the Goodwill Superstore is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a line that stretches about a mile of traffic, and I kind of chuckle, because you almost want to get out, park your car, and take one of those scooters. Uh-huh. and get in, because that's the only way in. But there's actually been an accident. I believe it was a fatality. A person riding a scooter collided with another vehicle, and
in this region,
yeah, oh. In Portland, and boom, there it is, and no pun intended. I've looked at them and I've thought about them. You know, park the car and ride around them, and they would be fine. But here's the problem: people are taking scooters because they're either A, cheap,
yeah.
B, slide in between traffic. Ooh. Uh-huh. C, don't have a car, don't want a car. Car is not feasible in the area, you know, and probably all the way up to H. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. This was on the news about 3 weeks or so ago, and that is the fact that it's things like Uber and Lyft and the scooters that are making our traffic worse, along with the fact that people who work in the city and need to get into the city for their jobs have pretty much been gentrified out. So the traffic is not going to get better. Now, if you add on the fact that there's been construction on 84 and 205, which is in the heart of our metro area, that makes it really seem classist at the very least, that there are complaints against traffic by the people who are sponsoring this mm-hmm. movement for tolls on our major thoroughfares, you know. But I'm just curious as to how people are dealing with this. And then I got another thing, but I do want to get to our caller. So good morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, thanks for your patience.
Well, you know, first of all, I wasn't going to talk about this traffic thing, but I think it's noteworthy to mention that since nothing exists in a vacuum, we would have to come to the conclusion that a lot of these illegal aliens that's coming into the country, and Oregon being a sanctuary city, which is a magnet to draw all of these people, that we have to come to the conclusion that they're adding to the traffic, they're adding to the demand for housing, and that the people that won't open borders, I mean, this is part of your consequences. And most recently, we're starting to have epidemics now, and venereal disease and measles.
You mean we've never had venereal disease in this city before? Whoa, I'm flabbergasted.
I said epidemic. You know, you're so busy trying to downplay what I'm saying that you're not even listening.
I'm listening. You're talking. Now, how do you know whether I'm listening or not? Because I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. So let me ask you a couple of specific questions about what you said. You said that illegal alien influx into our region is driving the increase of, or is one of the factors driving the increase in traffic and the demand for housing. That's
correct.
Okay. See, I am listening. But let me ask you a question about those two points now. Because I'm trying to understand economics from your perspective. How is it that people who are here illegally, as you claim, are able to capture such a large part of the attention and market share of the construction that's going on in this city? How is it that the people who are building these apartments are concerned about housing illegal aliens, and so that's why they're building all these new units here? And how is it illegal aliens are causing more traffic when, for the most part, people who are immigrating to this country and are low income are probably taking mass transit?
I think you're wrong on that part.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
Car is the easiest thing in the world to get. Matter of fact,
easy as a bus pass.
All they ask for is income. They don't ask for credit or nothing to get a car, so it's easy to get a car. But I don't know. You know, I'm in the field, a certain field, housing, mm-hmm. and I realize that most of the apartments are occupied by Mexicans. I don't
okay,
know
Okay, most
know
of
that
what
now.
Apartments are most of what apartments? Is there
rental apartments throughout Oregon is mostly populated by Mexicans.
Oh, so now you and Mike, you know,
well,
I would
do you know for a fact that I'm not telling the truth, or you just spend to give me some hypothetical nerves?
No, I'm gonna tell you based on the apartment complex that I lived in that was not
yours.
Primarily occupied by Mexicans. Okay, and so I'm thinking, okay, that's one, and that's market rate apartments. Okay, then, because I had worked for the city and I worked with the Housing Authority of Portland and I worked with Rose CDC and Reach CDC to help them deal with making their apartments crime-free, I got a chance to see what some of the demographics were. And so you can easily pull up this information. This is public information. And, you know, I have to say it doesn't show that most of their residents are Mexican. So I was going to ask you, where did you get your information? And I could say that you might try going online, because it's real easy. You don't even have to go to the library. You can just go online and pull up these demographics. And because, you know, this is nonsense.
That's how I know. I deal in the housing industry. That's how I know.
Okay, so what exactly do you do for the housing industry?
Pardon?
What exactly do you do for the housing industry in the housing industry?
I'm a real estate broker.
Did you?
And I deal in
real estate broker.
Home improvement.
Okay.
And I deal with home improvement, so I know
home improvement.
What I'm saying is true.
No. Okay. So what are your sources? Because I want to make sure that everybody listening can go and look this up.
You know, I don't even have time. One last thing, Cecil. You was talking about the day they were building the wall, and so I get the feeling, Cecil, that you're against building the wall and you're for open borders. So I want to ask you a question, Cecil. Since you are for open borders, are you saying that we should just do away with Coast Guards and every, because the sea is well protected from people coming in here legally from the sea? So are you for getting rid of the ships and Coast Guards? And also, for getting rid of protecting space, our satellites and everything like that, because, you know, other countries want to invade America through space. So are you for just getting rid of everything that protects America as being a sovereign nation, or are you just interested in open borders down on the Mexico border?
So
this is all on you, buddy.
I was making an observation about the Berlin Wall, which in 1961 the Soviets and East Germany began to build to keep people from fleeing tyranny To get to
keep them trapped,
to keep them within borders, and I think that's generally a problem. Secondly, as my paternal grandparents came to the United States via the water, and my maternal, but that's another story because they didn't buy a ticket to get, but in turn, my paternal grandparents were immigrants and came to this country partly because of the idea that the United States ought to be a place that welcomes people. And until I recognize that the Emma Lazarus phrase on the Statue of Liberty is not legal writ, but I think that it inspires many people throughout the history that the best, we are best when we open and welcome people from many people. Now about people from outer space, that's way above my grave.
Hey, you know, we're building a wall.
I said right now,
so he's talking about the Space Force.
Oh, the Space Force.
The proposed Space Force.
Okay. So those are some of my reflections on what you had to say, Mike. But we have a couple of callers online. I want to thank you for calling. And
yeah, thank you for calling, for real.
And stay cool. our number is here, 503-231-8187.
Good morning, Mike. Another
Good
Mike.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Today is Mike Day here. How are you?
Well, I'm almost ashamed to be a Mike after hearing the last gentleman. I mean, he's doing talking points from somewhere else. But anyways, I was going to say about the good judgment people showed when they buy these electric bikes and these electric scooters. But I got clear off it because I got to thinking, the borders are open when we send helicopters and forces down to murder and kill all these people in South America and do these death squads. And then when they come up here running for their lives, then we close the borders for them, right?
Yes.
But we can go ahead and have the borders open while we fly our Air Force down and murder and slaughter their people and put in Noriega and whatever down there. Anyways.
Well, see, that's what I keep trying to get the other Mike to listen to. It's not like, I mean, I'm not going to ignore the fact that there are criminal elements crossing our borders. We all know there are. And they take advantage of whatever weakness or kindness or openness that we have. But, I mean, these are people who will tell you, look, American paid or multinational paid mercenaries come in and take our land or water, whatever. We just want to live.
Yeah,
I've got friends who came here and they did it legally, but not everybody has been able. Sometimes you're trying to get up and run, and you can't wait for the legal machinery to process you.
Yeah, and a lot of those bad people, how did they get that way? They got that way of poverty, living poor, you know, being forced into gangs, you know. Who's to say that they can't change? We can all change, you know. I mean, I know there's supposedly a bad element. But my original thing was that I wanted to talk about it, but it's okay, Celeste, is that people show good judgment when they buy these scooters and they buy the bikes. But with that good judgment, you've got to show the judgment when you're operating them, too.
Hello.
You've got to focus and pay attention. And you've also got to show love for your fellow man and woman. You've got to love people. I mean, of course there's going to be traffic. If people would care about each other and focus, the problems wouldn't be so severe.
All right. I think I hit the nail on the head.
Hey, thank you, Mike, for calling. May you have a pleasant day. And this is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. I am sitting with Celeste Carey. I think about you, and I can't even think of words. So,
oh wow, I'm moved.
Well,
thank you. Okay, you know, when I sit here and I think about, you know, what did you say? This is our 25th year. Because you're the one that's good with all that kind of data.
Well, it was 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago in July of this year, we started doing the show. So that is, I think, the second longest relationship I've had.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Continuous association with one person.
This
is the second longest one. So, you know, when you say you're speechless, I take it as both a compliment and the playful ribbing.
That's how you keep a relationship alive, I'm told.
Yeah, it works. It does.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking about this on the way in, and we chatted briefly about it. I do want to say one thing. It's a little bit different from the topic that we're discussing today, which is the bag traffic. And we're trying to get folks actually to come and speak to us on it, because I'm really wanting people to have an informed vote should it come down to having to deal with traffic and tolls and what have it. But here's the other thing I wanted to talk about today. I don't know how many of you follow certain aspects of entertainment news, but one of my most cherished entertainment icons, cultural icons, artistic icons, is gravely ill and may not make it through the season. And every now and then you think about people who you would miss, and I'm talking about public figures, people who you would miss if they should pass. And Aretha Franklin is one that would have a profound impact on me. You know, there have been others, Donna Summer, and I think it's because I'm a woman and I could relate to some of the creative challenges she went through trying to be herself, you know, being caught up in that beast system that's the entertainment system. Aretha Franklin is somebody who's done a lot of her work on her own terms, and even dealing with her health, she's dealing with it on her own terms. She's not being very open about what's going on with her. And so, you know, there is speculation in the media, but the most certain thing is she's gravely ill. And as I thought about how I would feel should she pass, I thought about how with the positive and negative aspects of cultural appropriation, with the positive aspects of the globalization of art and the shrinking connection of the planet, and how we celebrate art and music from every place human beings are, is the idea of a kind of cultural icon like Aretha Franklin a fading concept? And do we have icons that really carry a multi-layered gravitas like she does? I mean, you say Aretha Franklin, and you know, and this is not tongue-in-cheek at all, like respect immediately comes to mind. And I'm not just talking about the song. I'm not. From her enduring some of her personal and relational heartbreaks in public to the way she has been kind of a purist with her art, to her idiosyncrasies, like she would not fly, you know, so you wouldn't get to see her sometimes, you know. And I just wonder sometimes, do we have that capacity anymore to have cultural icons of that stature? And what does it say about us as a culture, you know, as a species, specifically, here in the United States as a culture? And I just wondered if anybody, you know, had mused on things kind of that nature upon hearing about her. And I don't want to, like, demean the whole idea of her health by juxtaposing it with the scooters and the transportation, but it's just that, you know, that's been a significant thing the past few days. And so, you know, if you want to talk about Aretha and cultural icons and send her prayers, I sure would like it. But anyway, thank you to the folks that are holding right now while I wax Aretha. And join us by dialing 503-231-8187 here on More Talk Radio on KBOO Portland. So we'll go to our next person who's been waiting. Good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Prayers for Aretha, yes. In regards to the scooters, the rules are pretty crystal clear about them.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to be wearing a helmet, which I don't see. You have to stay to bicycle lanes or the main roads, not on the sidewalks. You also have to have a driver's license because it is a motorized vehicle. Those are the rules that are stated, and when you get on one of these and you swipe your card, there's a checklist, and it asks you, do you have a helmet? Do you understand the rules, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is people are disregarding these rules.
Yes. You're talking now in terms of these rules, you're talking about the scooters that are leased?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The ones that are there for the quick little rent, you swipe the card, you get on, you go.
Okay.
You also only one person per vehicle, and I've seen multiple people on them. The problem is nobody's enforcing these rules, or very, very small enforcement. In fact, the only people I've seen actually pulled over from these have been people of color. So that's another way of getting at the people of color, I guess.
Well, now, as a person of color, I would say, doggone it, put a helmet on, because I have not seen one person riding it that had on a helmet. Not one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're just disregarding the rules. And there's very, very little enforcement. And like I said, the only people I've seen actually stopped have been people of color along 82nd.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all I have to add to the conversation. Prayers for Aretha. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you, Al, very much for your thoughts about the scooters and bringing some information and sharing some information with us. What we haven't spoken about yet is in terms of the companies who owns the license.
Mm-hmm.
How
I think
were
there's three of them.
How were they granted? Was it through this? Was it a process like the car leasing firms that you mentioned?
Well, I think it's more like the there were three companies, and I think I didn't read it in depth because I skimmed over because I knew it was going to be a done deal. Somebody was going to get them. But three companies, and you probably had to submit your proposals, and it might have been a bidding process to get the licenses, because first, this is a trial period. And so I think a lot of the future success of this runs on issues like what Al just mentioned, you know, who is going to be in charge of enforcement. And the police have their hands full. And, you know, and when I say police, I'm talking about in the positive protect and serve vein. I'm not getting deep into all the rest of it.
Certainly.
You know, but what Al said about, you know, folks of color getting stopped, you know, now, if they had on helmets, then I have an issue. Like, why? Were they doing something wrong? Were they breaking the law? All I will say is everybody wear a helmet. I say that as a former nurse. So, you know, I don't want your brains.
So we haven't yet seen here that we've seen in other places. So,
like
jamming scooters and toilets or tossing them off of balconies or throwing them into rivers, type of, not yet.
Well, that's because we haven't had that level of bad behavior.
Okay.
Well, but I've seen the scooters start encroaching on some public space and be in the middle of the sidewalk, and I'm waiting on somebody to get mad because it's parked in the middle of the sidewalk and kick it into the street.
Two of our callers have already shared, Al just now, and the previous caller who talked about her run-in with almost literal run-in with a scooter on the sidewalks. And let's go to our next caller.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I had something I wanted to talk about, and hopefully I will, but I didn't know about Aretha Franklin, and that makes me sad that she's really sick. And that just brought about... I'm a musician, and I've liked the transition of the music industry as it gets away from so much so much power in just a few hands, you know, seeing as the internet, there's so many opportunities for people to get music out there. However, I got to say, there's a lot of music out there that's like, it's music, it's fine, but something about the old system, it always seemed to me that even though there were people picking and choosing who were going to be the, you know, what did Joni Mitchell say, the
star maker machinery. Yeah.
However, when you look at the work of a lot of those people that came up through that, you know, at least the tail end or through the star maker machinery, people like Aretha Franklin, I don't know, I could go on and on with the names. They were exceptionally talented people for the most part. I know in the later years you got some of the boy bands that were sort of manufactured and such, but man, it sure brought some amazing talent to the fore, people like her. And now it just, things being so diffuse and so many, so much music of, I don't know, so much same music, a lot of people, but a lot of people doing a lot of the same stuff. I don't know, like you said about the icons, there's something about it that's, it really kind of brought our culture together behind some of these amazingly talented people like Aretha Franklin. So that's just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, so you think in terms of the way the industry is now, you mentioned that one with there's more access to producing music and making music and distributing your music. Do you think that the cream will rise to the top?
Industry? I don't know. I have been exposed to some unbelievably cool music, you know, just on the internet. But, you know, I wonder if those people would have gotten the attention of the big companies and been made into really big stars and gotten more exposure to more people than now they're just going to get, I don't know, a large but not as big following. I don't know. It's so hard to know. It's just all, it's like the new frontier, I guess. Who knows where the chips are going to land.
So, Celeste, you're part of the
music. Well, I was just thinking, listening to what you were saying, that, well, part of the open access that you're mentioning, and I call that the good, one of the good effects of globalization is that I think our idea of consciousness and culture has changed so that it would be hard to define what culture is to have an icon. So
yeah.
if we're not sure about culture, because as the first mic brought up, there's open borders we're dealing with, and there's an influx of different ideas and people bringing their ideals of culture, but also bringing a willingness to synthesize stuff. Maybe we will never have those cultural pockets or those cultural layers or those cultural channels where a cultural icon could arise again, you know?
Yeah.
And there's both a sadness and a good thing about losing that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And I guess probably based on your age, somebody my age, you know, it's into my 50s that, you know, I'm going to miss the old system and the artists that it brought and sort of that cultural, you know, that kind of community. You know, oh, you're a Aretha fan too, you know. That's funny that saying her name, I don't know if you remember that Steely Dan song from
Yes, exactly. She don't know Aretha Franklin.
Years ago, it said, hey, 19, you don't
yep.
know Aretha.
Aretha Franklin.
You know, she was the queen
of soul.
Man, then that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now going to the original reason I wanted to call, you're talking about transportation, scooters, bicycles. I just had a thought I've had numerous times, and I'm going to make this real quick. I got to get going. But sometimes people, like that caller said, that people use a good judgment about using bicycles and using scooters, but then sometimes don't use that in their use of those machines. I was going to say I am such a believer in bicycles and people going out and using bicycles, but I've had so many experiences with rude bicycles. In fact, I was just at a business. It's right off the Spring Water Corridor. Yeah, Spring Water Corridor, and I was waiting to do something. A gentleman came by with his, an older gentleman with his dog walking down the trail, and we got to talking, and I don't know how I got there. He was saying, man, those bicyclists are so rude. I don't know how many times I've been almost run over, and I can say from my own experience, I was on a corridor, it was actually in Seattle, and I got nailed by a bicycle going way too fast in a busy area. So I just reach out to bicycles out there. Please use your best, you know, your best behavior and not turn people off of bicycles.
Hey, thank you so much. And may I add, make sure you have on your helmet.
Hello.
Oh, absolutely. And so many people don't.
Okay. Don't. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, so we've had one woman call her. Where are my women? Where y'all at? 503-231-8187. Up. I just heard we got a woman. Good morning, Francesca.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. I'm a KBOO member and love your show.
Yay, KBOO. Did you go to the party this weekend?
No, I was out of town, but I wanted to tell a little story about Aretha.
Okay.
I was a 17-year-old new student at the Claremont Colleges in 1972, working as an usher for the largest auditorium, which held a little over 2,000 people. Uh-huh. And I got to usher at an Aretha Franklin concert, and I really didn't know much about her then. Mm-hmm. And it was a packed house. And about 5 minutes after the show should have started, somebody came out and said, Aretha is running late. It could be as much as 45 minutes. What would you like to do? Mm-hmm. And everybody, the audience said, of course, we'll wait. And the audience waited 45 minutes. And by the time she came on, she was greeted with so much love. She was clearly stressed. And I think humbled by the love that was coming toward her in that audience. And she gave an amazing concert. It's 1972.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And,
was that Spirit in the Dark?
I just want to say that Aretha is somebody who really taught us, whether she was meaning to or not, mm-hmm. what it means to be human. And I think that's one of the things that makes a great artist great.
I agree, and that you know, one of the reasons that people had such love and patience for Aretha has to do a little bit with that idiosyncrasy I mentioned about not wanting to fly. And so they knew that she was in traffic, you know, because I think she had her own tour bus and would be traversing our roadways like all the rest of us, you know, and that was like a leveler, you know, it's like Aretha. And I mean, Aretha, she was a diva. She is a diva, you know, but she was not the prima donna in the negative sense.
Oh, no. No,
you know,
no, no.
She was queen
not
mother. She carried herself with respect.
Hard. Yes. She was a hard worker.
Yes, she is.
And it was a difficult world for her. So I think that I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm just like Ella Fitzgerald when she ended her life and got very sick, and we just hate to lose these people.
Yeah, but yes, thank you so much for your thoughts, and it's great that you have that wonderful memory of the concert in 72.
I'm lucky to have had that experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to More Talk Radio with Celeste, and I am Cecil, and coming up on KBOO at 9 is the Omo Variety Hour. It covers the future of the Democratic left, hate speech versus free speech, and the police targeting of anti-fascist demonstrators. At 10 on Locus Focus, a new radio documentary, Foreclosures for Sale, revisiting stories of Worcester's mortgage crisis. And at 11, it's Health Watch with Ellen Goldsmith, who will bring you news and information to make you healthier. 11:30, continue listening for Radio Zine as we continue to commemorate the birthday of James Baldwin with his 1965 debate with William F. Buckley at Cambridge University. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. And this is Cecil with Celeste. This is More Talk Radio. We've mentioned a couple of themes this morning. One is a continuing concern and best wishes for the health of Aretha Franklin, and talking about people who were so influential, cultural icons, who are they? Do we continue to have them? And who are our future icons, maybe? And about scooters, electronic scooters, who are making their ways, apparently 2 or 3 leasing companies own the bids for them. I'm here in Portland, and people have shared some of their stories or their encounters or how they just barely miss a physical encounter with the scooters. Do you have any experience either riding or leasing a scooter? And do you wear your helmet? And are you following the laws or the legal suggestions on how to ride them? Give us a call with your thoughts, either on cultural icons or on such as Aretha Franklin, or on any thoughts on e-scooters. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And we'll take your calls and your thoughts. And Celeste, what are some of your thoughts right now?
You mean about cultural icons or scooters? Well, scooters.
Do you listen to cultural icons on the scooter?
I haven't ridden one of those scooters, and I've been thinking about it because I drive a Jeep, and you know it's not the most fuel efficient. And so, you know, my other vehicle is a motorcycle, but you can't carry anything on it. So, the whole idea is if I drive the Jeep, so I can do stuff, but I don't want to have to drive it into tight places where parking is a mess. I've really been thinking about scooters, so I just keep probably some knee pads and elbow pads and a helmet in the car from now on, and gloves. Motorcycle gloves would be best.
Okay.
You know, but I applaud people for looking at ways of making money and providing a reasonable service, a safe service. But I think that given the fact that this city is in the growth throes of congested traffic, that there should have been a whole lot more thought about how we're going to integrate scooters. We've had traffic flow redesigns in parts of the city, like over in the Cable neighborhood, traffic directions and street blockages and what have you have been changed to accommodate increased flow, but those were not done with scooters in mind. So, you know, we can expect accidents, and then even the lane changes for bicycles are not carefully planned as they should be because we're caught up in earlier policy making of allowing bicycles to ride in any street and to take over the whole lane. And there's some streets that are just not appropriate for bike riding. And I know this because I ride a bike too. And so, you know, I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking that we're going to integrate scooters into this mix. We say skateboards should use bike lanes. We got scooters that are the two-wheel kind that are motorized like mopeds and what have you, and motorcycles and cars and Uber and all of that. And then we're trying to figure out how are we going to determine who is most appropriate to be on these roadways, and we're going to tax people if they have to use some of these roadways to get into town. And that's one reason why, you know, I've been bothering you and Derek about getting guests on to talk about this. I think we need to, as citizens, declare a moratorium on transportation changes and call for a whole new way of looking at our transportation, because we got a mess. This traffic congestion is not going to go away.
One of the things you mentioned was in terms of an appreciation of people making money. My concern is And I acknowledge I haven't done any research, so my facts are almost non-existent. So, but I'm just concerned in terms of who are these companies, and will they? It may sound like a good idea, you know, people can make money, but I'm just, I'm sure.
Well, that's why I said responsible money.
And not too soon distance, there will be, you know, two or three major corporations in charge of these alternative transportation mechanism, and that it's you know, well, you don't know, but we'll see what happens. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll listen to the insights of our next caller. Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We can.
Oh, great. Thanks. You know, it's fascinating. You just mentioned Aretha Franklin. Last night I was listening on YouTube to Aretha Franklin.
Oh. Ah.
How about that?
Well, it's in the ether.
Say a little prayer, too.
Yes.
Oh.
That's
yes.
What
I was listening.
Say a prayer for her.
I was comparing it to the Dionne Warwick version.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Aretha's better. But anyway, I was calling somewhat about the cultural appropriation thing. Like, exactly, I heard Professor Dyson talking about it too on KBOO on a lecture, you know, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the first I ever heard of it, that kind of, like, I remember black people being a little upset was when the rapper
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla, yes, a really horrible kind of first time any white group kind of tried to do, pretend they were serious rappers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
Well, and, see, I'll give him his due for having talent, but the problem is if you're going to be a white rapper, one of the pitfalls that people who love Elvis will know is that you're going to be exploited just as much as a black rapper was. You know, you may not be given the opportunities your talent, if you got talent, deserves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Eminem came along later, and he got all kinds of respect because he actually grew up in Detroit or something.
Yes.
Well, he had talent, too.
Yeah, whereas, Vanilla Ice supposedly didn't, but anyway.
Well.
I was just wondering, speaking of Elvis, you know, I grew up with, I met these people later in life, these Elvis fans who were, like, older than I was, and they were all racist, you know?
Well.
And they didn't know that Elvis is, like, singing black music. They were so stupid that they didn't even know that you got this white boy, you're liking a white boy that he's using black music, you jerks.
Well, you know, the history of racism, that's how it works.
But he was also exploited for his talent, because I'll give him this. I didn't like his political views, especially about black folk, but I did respect the fact that he had a voice. And, you know, and he was used, too, because he didn't have the advantage of a good education, and he didn't have the advantage of a broadened consciousness about human beings. And so he was a sucker.
He had the kernel for a long time.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he was exploited by his managers and all.
Yeah, exactly.
I think personally, I heard that he was good. He you know, he hired a lot of black backup singers. He was fair to black people.
He said the only thing a black man could do for him was shine his shoes. That's what he said.
Yeah, right. There you go.
So,
and then another interesting thing, you know, I heard a B.B. King interview, and you know, when the Beatles came out. And kind of, you know, caused all that uproar and everything.
Mm-hmm.
John Lennon just happened to mention that his idol was B.B. King.
Mm-hmm.
B.B. King's giving this interview and saying, you know, I wasn't, you know, my music was doing okay and everything, but when John Lennon said this, suddenly I got all these extra, you know, I got all this attention. I got all these extra concerts.
Right.
Stuff, you know,
well, that's
because white people were interested in me. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think that's a recognition of in terms of musical history, musical roots, and what John Lennon does by acknowledging where his inspiration came, and not just, you know, taking the money and run.
Exactly.
It helped artists blues artists like B.B. King. So I suppose it's a right way and a not so right
way.
Well,
see, and that's the whole thing. That's why I said the positive aspects of cultural appropriation are kind of eroding the idea of having a cultural icon. Another example of cultural respect is you probably heard of the band The Average White Band. Well, they were a bunch of guys from Scotland, white guys. And in the U.K., you know, you had your blue-eyed soul because it soul music resonated for so many of the folks. And interesting enough, your Scottish and Welsh singers had the vocal resonance to really pull off soul music. They had that timbre and tone, which is why a lot of women would swoon behind Tom Jones or, you know, Engelbert Humperdinck, such as it was. But, you know, what they did is they paid homage. And because they were paying homage, a lot of black artists and black listeners really liked them. You know, they took something and they put love into it. They didn't take something and strip the soul out. And, you know.
Well, I guess you got to make a list of these people that do take something and so I can know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Come out there and you know, you can't be that vague. You got to, like, name names and stuff.
I did. Average White Band. That's their name.
Okay.
Look them up.
I remember them, but I can't remember a single song. I guess that's how crummy they were.
Pick up the pieces.
Maybe they were good. Maybe they were good. I don't know.
They were. Google them and then go on and listen to some of their music. You'll find that they paid homage and they had a lot of love, especially for James Brown. But thanks for your call.
So then they didn't appropriate.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to know the ones that appropriated that you're angry at.
Oh,
well.
You know what I mean? So, because what is it? You're saying, you know, appropriation, you're saying taking and not giving. You know?
Yeah.
So I guess you need to figure out.
Well,
I didn't get any. I don't remember what Dyson said either, but.
That sounds like something I should probably blog about.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. I was asking you to do a whole show on that because you've mentioned it more than once. I've been listening
okay.
to you.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll put that in the hopper. And thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye.
Uh-huh. So, let me check with our engineer. We have any more calls? Okay, good. So this is perfect because first I want to read this important piece of information.
Okay.
Cause More Talk Radio, brought to you by your community connection, KBOO Portland, is made possible by you, KBOO listener members, and support from the Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland, presenting Gary Trudeau, political cartoonist and creator of Doonesbury Comics. Yes, sharing his latest book, Sad, Doonesbury in the Time of Trump, Tuesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information are available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org. So check that out for sure. And then as we wrap this up, I want to let you know that Cecil and I are kind of doing research and figuring out how to flesh out this whole conversation about the coming idea of toll roads, transportation, etc. And so we welcome your ideas for guests or whatever. You can always find us at More Talk Radio on the kboo.fm/More Talk Radio webpage, or you can go to moretalkradio@gmail.com. Now, because I have prayers going out for Aretha, you know, and just she is, I call her the grand dame of soul. That's how I see it. And that's not to take anything away from anyone. That's just the way she carried herself and what she means to me personally. But I am going to close our show with this selection, which I think shuts up any speculation about her artistic, her vocal, her creative prowess, her presence. And furthermore, it exemplifies not only the breadth and depth of her ability, but the respect that others had for her. And we will hear you next week on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
stanza. Quanti le scelle che tremene d'amore e di speranza.
KABU is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society's new concert season, which starts September 21st of this year and runs through May of 2019, all staged at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. The Portland Folk Music Society is pleased to present a lineup of national and regional artists, including Molly O'Brien and Rich Moore, the Kathy Kallick Band, the Honey Whiskey Trio, Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball, True North, Tish Hinojosa, Pat Donahue, Nina Gerber and Chris Webster, and Dave Stamey. And for the first time, the Portland Folk Music Society is offering season ticket packages at prices below single show rates, either online or at the door. For more information, go to the website kboo.fm and look on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in on Thursday, August 30th at 8 p.m. to celebrate the Native programmers and the Native community of KABU as part of our 50th anniversary. Jack Malmstrom of Rose City Native Radio will host this special on-air program. You can join us at the Native Community Open House here at KABU at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 30th. More information about the Native community.